Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
In this episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, we bring on one of our former teammates, a guy that came in the 2013 class. His name is John Kenny, and he is a straight-up good dude. Didn't finish with Iowa, transferred to Arizona. You'll hear about that story, but he's now working with Monarch and The Seeker. Some of you may have seen that on social media. He's going to talk all about that. We're super excited to have him. You know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans. Episode 186 of the podcast, and we got another cool guest on for you guys today. It's a conversation we've been looking forward to having for a long time. It's a guy who, in his time at Iowa, formed legendary status in the locker room very quickly, has some of the most legendary college moments, college stories of all time. One of the only dudes that knows what it feels like to hear 23B called in the huddle and then have to go run it against somebody who really doesn't want to get ISO'd. So without any further ado, I'd like to welcome the legend, John Kenny, to the podcast. It's going to be a pleasure, Bubs.
Let's go. Appreciate you fellas having me on.
You look, I mean, with that intro that Drake just gave you, your appearance matches it perfectly. For those that are just listening, John is in you're currently in Texas, and we can get to that. You're in a plaid shirt, chilling on a front porch with a cowboy hat on. What's going on, man? Like, what's life like nowadays?
Well, I was telling Drake, we follow the Corn Belt Cowboy Steve Mander, so I figured we might as well hop on, represent the fullbacks a little bit with the cowboy hat on. But being in cowboy hat and the boots, almost necessary out here.
Drake was right. You were a guy that everybody liked in the locker room, and we're going to go all the way back to how you got to Iowa and then what happened after Iowa. And a lot of Hawkeye fans are probably familiar, or at least have seen the Seeker, which is something that you now have a hand in. Let's go all the way back. Where are you from, John? How did Iowa Hawkeye become a part of your life? How'd you get to Iowa City?
So I'm from Carmel, Indiana. And Coach Woods and Coach Eric Johnson, who was there, they recruited me as an outside linebacker. So I was the seventh commit in our class to commit. And just as kind of when social media, it's obviously a lot more now with everybody tagging, but it was at the time when like you'd reach out to people on Facebook and could just see different things. So I feel like it was just me and a couple other guys at the beginning of the class trying to rally the troops for our class. But it was Coach Woods, and I just took a visit out there. Arizona was actually the first school that offered me, then Iowa right after, and then a few other Big Ten schools and different schools like that. But Iowa just felt like home. I think it was the atmosphere, the culture, Kinnick, the tradition. Coach Ferentz, which we all know, he's the GOAT.
And how does it feel to know that you led the social media charge for the shittiest class in Coach Ferentz's history?
I know. Isn't that unreal? Like everybody's and there's lawsuits now. It's just like, holy cow. Maybe could have done a better job. But
Not just that. And, you know, that was a whole ordeal this summer. I'd love to get your thoughts on that in a bit. But also, if you look back, John, the statistics actually say, like the real statistics say, when you go back, you look at the number of stars that Rivals gave us all and stuff like that. We were, Drake, are we the worst class in KF's recruiting history?
The graph that I saw was over either 10 or 15 year period, and it was worst by far. Like we were the lone standout, and it was in a negative manner.
So John, thanks for that.
Yeah. Hey, I was doing my best. It could have been worse. Maybe it could have been better. It's just.
All right. So what was your first impression of Coach Woods?
He's a legend. He came to one of our games. It was pouring down rain back in Indy. I just got the whole – it just felt like home from the beginning. Just the coaches, it felt like they really care. I think looking back now, it's kind of funny not saying that. Like Coach Woods and I, so we still keep in touch because Iowa does have a secret and he's a special teams coach. So it's been a cool relationship, just kind of going all the way, like kind of full circle from getting recruited to playing to now, like, I guess working like business or having different conversations with coaches. It's kind of been cool, but not to say that coaches don't care about you, but they give you the whole treatment, make you feel special, all of that stuff. But he's been super genuine. Iowa more than any other staff, but there's some coaches out there that just, I mean, you just don't really know what you're going to get. So I feel like honesty and trust is a huge thing, which still to this day, even when I transferred, had it with those coaches, and it just being on the same page as everybody.
Now, I remember you were potentially the first guy in our class to be like to see the field because you came in at semester. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I graduated. So it was like me, Chad Gilson, Andrew Stone. Couple guys that transferred in, but yeah, I was the lone one.
I remember that because that spring I had committed just before our senior year football season. And then I committed, but I had still never been to a practice or anything. Like I had basically come to a couple game day recruiting visits after I went to the camp in the summer. And so then my official visit was actually after I had committed. And then shortly after that, spring ball was happening. And I remember being out there, Tyler Barnes taking me around the field, kind of walking me around a spring day practice. And he pointed you out and he's like, yeah, this guy's already in your class. He's already in here going to work. That's John Kenny. And I was like, holy shit, dude. Like that was the first moment where I was like, I'm not just the big, like I was big size wise, not height wise, but I was like strong and like physically able to kind of dominate in Iowa football. And then I saw you, and I'd love to actually scroll up here and see what we had you on the roster. 6'2", 225. Was that about right when you came out of high school?
Yeah, they put weight on me quick. Coach Doyle, this is a funny story. I walked in the first day and I felt like, well, first of all, living in Hillcrest. So real funny story, shout out to George Kittle, but there's a soccer player, Brooke Backus. We grew up in Carmel. So she was like the only person I really knew from Carmel. And she was staying at Hillcrest because she was a soccer player. So I was with Brooke for like my parents just dropped me off. I texted Brooks like, hey, what's up? Let's like check out Hillcrest, do something. I literally went to like the second floor. She's like, yeah, football players live here. Walked down to the first floor. It was like George, and it was right when everyone was getting back from break, from winter break. And George was the first person I met. And Brooke and I hung out for like 3 minutes. And I was having a beer with George in five. And I was like, oh, man, I'm going to love it here.
That's incredible.
Well, then Tan strolled in, a bunch of these different people. So I think it was a cool spot kind of for me, because I did have like those initial relationships with like the class above. So like George, CJ, all those guys are still really good friends, and then having our class come in and kind of like intertwining both of those. It was kind of a cool scenario.
Yeah.
Kenny, man, do me a favor and tell that bird to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. It's dude, check out this. I'm not sure if you can see, but we're in Austin, Texas out here. It's beautiful.
That's incredible, dude.
Does look like a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Do I need to go inside? Is that bird being loud?
Maybe if he keeps going, we'll have to we'll have to monitor it. Anyway, Hillcrest, God, what a great time, right? Because so you would have been on campus in January of 2013. Mm-hmm. Were you in Hillcrest then at that point?
Yeah, so I was in Hillcrest for like a year and a half.
Yeah, for like a whole...
I spent more time in Hillcrest in the Learning Center than just about anybody.
Oh, my goodness.
You were saying, Clue, earlier about the guys in the weight room, about being big and strong and all that. I walked in. Was Dean. Do you guys remember Dean, the defensive lineman?
Oh, yeah.
We talk about him a lot.
I walked in the weight room the first time, and he was warming up with like 295 on bench. I was like, that is my max out. Like, he's literally just pumping it. And I'm like, whoa, this is going to be eye-opening for sure. And then we were power cleaning that day, and it's all like the form. You're really focused on the form and everything just to make sure everything's all right. And Coach Doyle walks up and he's like, hey, John, you know what conference we're playing in? And I was like, yes, sir, the Big Ten. He's like, yeah, it's the Big Ten, not the Little Ten. Put some fucking weight on the bar. I was like, okay, here we go.
that's crazy that you didn't turn him in for bullying at that point.
I know. Well, shoot, that's a long story.
I'm not gonna get into it. I just think it's funny. So man, so you were in there. We all came in. I feel like Hillcrest was probably like a really integral part of every class and the memories that go along with it. But man, second floor. I mean, you talk about like the times and the relationships that you created on the second floor of Hillcrest. I remember going down to the second floor and it was Josie. It was Trev. It was Andre Harris, AJ, Ike, John Wiz. Like,
yeah.
Talk about your first year, like creating those relationships and just like what you thought about all that.
I mean, we were just super blessed. I feel like from right away, we all kind of hit it off. Being so close and just doing so many different things together. And it's kind of a culture shock right away, as far as like the hard work and the hours and the LC and kind of getting everybody on the same page, but just going, not that it was, I mean, practice and all those early morning lifts and everything, that's the stuff people always say that you'll remember. And it's so true. At the time, you're like, well, I'm not going to remember playing Tetris in the LC, but that's what I do remember, like just little things like that. So I feel like we just had a super special bond. A lot of people, we were all cool guys and we worked hard. And yeah, the second floor was kind of where it's at. We had everybody like from the showers in the bathroom down the hall until like those stairs right there was just loaded with everybody. So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
John, how much did you hate playing fullback? Be honest.
Oh my gosh, man. I raised my hand. I mean, those fullbacks got hurt. It was me and you, Drake, kind of raised our hand. And so fullback.
And I sucked at it bad.
Dude, fullback playing in the games was sweet. I've always played defense, so I never knew. I liked on defense how you kind of – it was more like film. I mean, fullback, it's like, okay, hit this guy. It's not like much film study. It's kind of a battering ram in there. But I really respected Macon and Cox and – they just like loved it. And I was like, dude, I don't know. And it wasn't the games. Like the games, I was sore, but man, Tuesdays and Wednesdays after practice, run it again, run it again. I'm like, can we just like fit up? Like I'm hitting Josie or Hitch or like somebody every play. And yeah, it was just wild. What about you, Drake? What are your thoughts on fullback?
Very similar. The games were very fun and it seemed a lot less daunting when we were in Kinnick and it mattered. But yeah, when we were in the middle of the spring and we were hitting our own teammates that we were friends with, and it hurt very badly every single time, and there was absolutely no objective, no points were going on the board, and we didn't get to play a game for another 8 months or however long it was, I wanted to kill myself.
Yeah, dude. It's so funny because you go up and you just hit and you literally like are fitting up with your head and everything. And you don't get called out on film or anything because you both literally.
General managers ask questions to find the right players. Like, do they have ice in their veins? When you're hiring, you can use Indeed assessments to make sure you find the right candidates with the skills you need. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. In fact, Indeed Instant Match provides a list of quality candidates whose resumes are on Indeed the moment you post a sponsored job. And with Indeed assessments, choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure you're finding applications from people with skills you need. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions apply.
Just stop. Like, you win if you just, like, stop the guy. So it's not like even pancaking him or anything. It's just like, okay, we were both running full speed. I mean, even playing linebacker, like, that's why I think Iowa still runs it, but it's physically dominating, and linebackers don't want to hit fullbacks just as much as fullbacks not necessarily don't want to hit fullbacks, but it's a different breed.
Fullbacks
out there, and it's just crazy to see how fullbacks in general have transitioned to more receiving and tight end. Like, you don't see really like the Haas fullbacks anymore. Like Juice, the Niners, he's like super athletic and can hit people with the, they are used really creatively.
Yeah, that's why Drake isn't in the NFL, is because they just saw him as a bowling ball.
Drake, dude, if you're at Iowa, you with your work ethic would have caught more passes on there. You might have been a tight end.
Swear, bro. Swear. I was too short to play tight end for real. Like, but, and honestly, I probably couldn't have gotten open good enough, let's be honest. But I could catch a some bitch in traffic. You could have sent me across the middle and know I was coming down with the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Drake was – so Drake and I were roommates, John, and I don't know if you remember that or not because, you know, the second floor, we were on the third floor.
Uh-huh.
And it was pretty lit up there too. We held it down. Drake, our freshman year, when we were still figuring shit out, kind of those moments that you remember, Drake and I had some, like, late-night conversations. I miss that shit, Drake. Real bad, by the way. Like, we would lay in bed at night, like, lift – in the morning,
no
whatever.
Homo, by the way. No homo.
No, we were naked in bed together. Don't lie. We were definitely there was some touching. But we used to talk about and Drake at one point I think was convinced that he could be the punt returner for Iowa.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
Drake was most confident in his punt returning ability. And I was
I caught punts for 2 years at Muscatine, never muffed a punt. Always came back with the ball. And listen, I watched Iowa punt returners over and over again do absolutely fucking nothing. And guess what? I can go back there and make sure we get the ball back. And hey, I'll even make a guy miss every once in a while. Go back to my highlight film. You'll see me make the first guy miss a couple times. Like, it just is what it is. I could have caught punts, and Coach Kelvin Bell knows that shit too. He just didn't want to give me my credit.
Hey, I don't know what's worse, though, fullback or punt returning. I've never been back there returning punts, but having all those – I mean, those are some athletic, fast people on the punt team running.
Let's be real. The punt return team is way more nerve-wracking.
Yeah. I think every position, honestly, now that I think about it, like even long snapping, every position is just this different type of anxiety. Like punt returner, like you have the world in your hands. You literally, like, the game is in your hands. It's coming down. Fullback, it's a type of anxiety where I don't know if my neck is going to be aligned after this game. It most likely won't be. Long snapper or kicker, you're like, I get 4 reps a game. I have to be perfect. Quarterback has the anxiety of, like, controlling. It's just every position is just this different, like, meat grinder that you're sent through mentally. It's so crazy. John, so let's move it along here. You were with us for the 2013 season, our freshman year, and yes. Then and you redshirted with us. And then and then in 2014, when you actually saw action, you had moved from linebacker, you transitioned, as you mentioned. What was that like? You kind of raised your hand, and when you raised your hand, did you think that you weren't going to be looking back, like linebacker, like you were going to transition to that fullback spot and that was going to be it? What was it? What in your mind, what was the path for you?
Yeah. So, in my mind, and I think it was interesting. I think communication is so important, but in my mind, it was more, I think Drake and I both raised our hand. Like, the fullbacks kind of got depleted that year. Macon and Cox both had like season ending injuries for the most part. And I just wanted to get on the field. So I was a backup linebacker. I'm not sure how many reps I would have gotten my redshirt freshman year. We had some great backers, but I raised my hand and just kind of volunteered, and then I think played myself into a role. And then going into spring, I always thought like that season, because Cox and Maker were both coming back. So I was like, cool, like I'll get some playing time. And also playing linebacker, like, because I did at the end of the year, I had a pinched nerve in my neck. So I couldn't feel like I would get 135 on bench and like go up with my left arm and just be like, hey, like I need some help. Like I just could.
Those nerve injuries were bad, weren't they, dude? That is the primary fullback injury, and it is horrible.
Yeah, and you hit every time. So it was just like going into games knowing, or like even just getting in three-point stance, not feeling your arm. And just like, I mean, you just can't get your body in front of people. But it kind of came down that spring, because I finished up that season in 2014. And that spring, they started me at fullback. And I was just kind of confused, because I was working with the fullbacks a little bit, but mostly linebackers and stuff. And when spring ball hit, I went back to linebacker, or I was at fullback for the first 3 weeks. And I went in and talked to Coach Ferentz, and I was just like, hey, like I'm kind of confused. And it almost seemed like they forgot about me, because Macon and Cox were back. And so I was just like, man, I feel like I'm not getting love. And also every single day, like I'm just beating my body. Like my body just physically can't take this. And respect to you, Drake, but like playing in the Big Ten, especially Iowa offense, I was like, I don't know what it's going to be like for 3 more years. Plus I feel like I can still make plays defensively. So I had 2 weeks left at we have 5 weeks of spring ball. I played 3 at fullback, talked to Coach Ferentz. He's like, oh yeah, totally go play linebacker. And I was playing I thought I was playing really well. And Coach Pelosi and just some other coaches, like, I feel like I was putting on the film that I could play. And I was unsure. I was like, maybe it's just like kind of like a puzzle piece. Like, I'm not sure exactly where I fit. So I made the decision to transfer to Arizona. And that's when, just playing linebacker, and it was a completely different story.
Dude, I enjoyed watching you play linebacker at Arizona, because you were actually more of a pass rusher, and it was fun to watch. Like, I got to turn on the TV, watch a team that I didn't give a shit about, but I got to watch Kenny Man rush the passer. So it was fire.
Probably at the bars. I got more texts from people at the bars, because we always played in Arizona. Because it was so freaking hot out there. Every game was at 8.
Yep.
So it was like the game that you're on, you're like going to bed and you're like, oh my gosh, like Arizona's playing Oregon State, who cares, but it's football, you know what I mean?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, it was fun. It felt great just being back out there and being able to make plays and be on defense. But the Iowa culture and community and everything, you just learn so much from how the program's built and what it's built on. It was just huge, especially like being in business and jumping around. My first couple of jobs, it's so similar how sports and business kind of align. So Carmel High School was a great program, routine and everything. And then Iowa was as well. And Arizona was more of like it was kind of out of whack. So.
All right. So let me ask you this. So like we're transitioning out of college and into the business life and, you know, post football, which is actually extremely interesting for you. And I figured we just started off talking about how you get into business with Iowa. And talk about like what it's like going and being in business with your former team and like remending those relationships and things like that. Cause it's a pretty cool situation. Not many people leave a program with no animosity and then come back and do business with them later. Like, it's a pretty cool scenario.
Yeah, it's really cool. So for people that don't know what the secret is, it's Monarch, and we call it a robotic quarterback, but basically it's state-of-the-art technology with GPS tracking system. You can go out and train completely alone, which is huge, especially now with like smaller workout groups and everything. But it was just insane. One of the biggest fears I had, because this whole idea in Monarch was started at University of Iowa, which is a really cool story in itself. Some of Riley McCarron's high school buddies. But I went back the first time and we were still testing. So kind of in like a whole different phase than we're at now. And Coach Ferentz and Coach Doyle walk out on the field and I'm there. And I was just like, oh my gosh. Like, it was one of those things where it's just like, you don't think, you just put your head down and walk towards them. And just like, what's up? And Coach Ferentz, I was telling Kluver on the phone the other day, but this is one of the coolest things. It kind of like broke down all the walls. First of all, they are the most genuine people. And they went up and like the Arizona coaches, I'm not even sure they knew my parents' name, anybody's name, but I went up to Coach Ferentz and we started talking. He's like, yeah, it's a really cool project you got going on. How'd you get on this? How is Arizona? This, that, and the other. And then he was like, yeah, so how's Lauren doing? And I was like, wait, my sister? Like, she's like 2 years younger. I think you met her maybe one recruiting trip, but just the things that he remembers. And I literally, like, not that tears like almost came to my eyes. I was like, oh my gosh. Like the stories that you hear all the time about people doing like that, that was just so cool. And just a genuine great conversation. And now it's cool because one, they love the Seeker. The athletes love it. Being a former player there and talking to like Charlie Jones, Brandon Smith, a couple of the guys, they're using it a lot. So it's just an interesting scenario. And kind of going full circle, like seeing Coach Woods at my high school game to being my coach to the AFCA, which is a big conference, and just like hooking it up with special teams coaches. So it's always nice to, I mean, they treat you like family, and they have for me the whole time. So it's been a cool scenario.
That's crazy. That sister story is wild. I don't know. He probably wasn't there. We had a manager on the podcast. His name is Colin John. And he came on and kind of talked about being a manager, all this stuff. And at the end of the podcast, I think we asked him what his favorite part about being in Iowa was. And he said he had a similar story, except it was his first day. He had just walked in for his first day as a manager. So like, you know, it's like they're behind the scenes already, but on your first day, it's like, who's this random guy in the complex? And KF was at the top of the All-American room, kind of by the desk where you, before you walk into the coach's hallway, and yeah, saw Colin and greeted him by name, like already knew who he was on his, like, great. It's just like so stupid how Coach Ferentz is so personalized. I don't understand how he does it. It's wild.
He runs a tight ship. He knows who he's bringing into his family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, I thought another reason why I committed to Iowa, which I'm not sure, it was so interesting, but Coach Woods and Coach Johnson, like right when I like committed, and they're like, all right, this is what's going to happen. And they're like, Wisconsin and a few other schools are going to offer you now that you committed. Literally the next day, Wisconsin calls. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So it was like the trust thing. I was like, whoa. And then I was like, screw these guys. Like, just nuts. So it was just wild how people follow like Coach Ferentz's path. I feel like Iowa, you get an offer from Iowa, and then it's like schools kind of take notice. It's like, yep, not that they have homework, but it's a special thing, especially like these schools. I'm not sure if you saw that thing. It was in the news, I think, last year. There's literally a fake like bot that was a 5-star they created. Complete fake thing. Said he got offers places and had his like profile up on different websites, like 24/7 and all that. And schools were literally like offering him based off just like social media, not knowing him, talking to him, seeing film or anything, which I think just shows the recruiting, like the following with recruiting. But that story was nuts.
That's actually wild. So a little bit more about the Seeker and Monarch and what you're doing now. So I know that you guys were kind of in the development stage back then. Now I follow you guys. You guys got, you know, kind of like almost Monarch athletes, like beta testers, like George Hawk, and a bunch
which
of other
guys. So legendary that they're getting those personalized Monarchs. Those things are too sick.
Yeah. Talk more about the company and like what the goal is, like where are you guys trying to go?
Yeah. So the company is, it's a sports robotics company. It's really interesting for us. And we're in a kind of a new space because when you look at our unit, it's viewed as like a jugs machine. Like that'd be the way you'd describe it to an old school coach, like Coach Davis, Greg Davis. He was down in Dallas. I lived there for about a year and a half, and I'd frequently get lunches with him, and he'd just be like, oh, it's like a jugs on steroids. It's like literally what he calls it. And we're trying to transition that because with our Seeker, we'll be able to get statistics, and you can track workouts for the first time ever. So you can go out and see how many catches you're doing. We've got software. It's all LTE and Wi-Fi enabled, and it just does an incredible job. Like there's nothing like that. And to go out there during skills and drills and just different periods, having like that former player mentality to it and just knowing how much it's used. Like you go out there and you catch a couple balls and then you can run fades and different things. Like we've been out with multiple athletes and they'll be like, man, I just want to catch some balls. I worked out earlier today. And 3 hours later, they're drenched in sweat and they get a full workout. So you're not just working on your hands, you're doing all these different places. It's getting you in the facility and getting you reps. But the goal at Monarch, we're just trying to empower athletes to really get all the maximum game-like reps that you can get. So whether that's catching, punt returning, special teams coaches love it. We've got a scripts feature. It's really cool. I would definitely check it out. But they're completely custom. So for recruiting, you know how important that is, and branding. So we're
so let me ask you this, John. Is it affordable for high school yet or not?
We're coming out with a payment plan, but right now we're being really strategic with who we work with. So we're at a phase where we're a small team. So Iowa, a couple of our first customers this past year, not that we take anybody, but we wanted, like, it was just more about exposure. But right now, like, I'm heading to Florida this weekend, and I'll be meeting up with different training facilities, all these NFL draft prep, all these guys. We got a blue check mark on Instagram like earlier this year.
Let's go.
That's like all these NFL, just before it was like shooting a shot in the dark, not check mark, like what Monarch Sport doesn't even have a picture, but the blue check marks helped out a lot. And just from branding, and we've been in like Forbes, ESPN, a bunch of different media outlets. So our brand awareness is getting there. And then it's all about the athlete. That's who we created it for. And that's what we're trying to instill in people's minds. And you can just do so many different things with it. Have you guys been on it?
I've never worked with it.
I've never worked out on it. I've just watched all the videos, and like the ones where you guys go in depth, where you show the screen, you're like, listen, this is the concept. Then you show the receiver, boom, he makes his cut, the ball's on him. And like, I'm just thinking about it because like, we obviously want to promote you and your stuff, and we think this is awesome. We think what you're doing as a former athlete in this space is awesome. And there's probably a lot of high school coaches in Iowa, you know, the Dowlings and the Pleasant Valleys and the Bettendorfs, that could afford something like this and would love the opportunity to have something like this. And I don't know, I'm just trying to form even more outlets for you.
How cool would it be if they got one before Iowa State? So this is what we were talking about as a team. I know this is going to get out there, but one of the guys he was like a assistant DFO or something at Arizona, went to Iowa State, and everybody knows how Iowa beat Iowa State that one game. So you got to be a savage when they dropped the punt. And we were there earlier that offseason. So I literally sent him the gif of the drop punt, like a joke. And they're just taking their sweet time with it. And I'm like, dang, if we get big enough, how cool would it be? I feel like it'd be like a Barstool Sports thing. Like, it was created at Iowa and everybody has it besides Iowa State.
That'd be so that would incredible. Be
incredible. If you actually blacklisted Iowa State and Nebraska, that would be the greatest thing of all time.
Yeah.
So I know we were just joking around a team. So we're filled. It's actually, we call it the Monarch Bowl, but our co-founder's Northwestern. And then me, our software engineer, and Sawyer, who does sales and marketing as well, are all Hawkeyes. And so it's Northwestern got the best of us this year, so it was tough. But
dude, they've been getting the best of us. Something about that damn team. We've talked about that on the podcast many times.
Did you guys see Patty Fitz got that 10-year extension today?
Yep.
Fatty Tits is what we call him.
What is
Fatty Tits?
Fatty Tits.
Oh, man. I'm so happy. We're going to let you go, John, because you got big – I mean, you got a lot of shit going on. You got real stuff to do. Drake and I, we just sit at home and, you know. What?
I've got to get on that workout plan, man. I'm married now. I've got to get fit.
Yeah, I mean, we could probably get you right, man. I could
– I've got a little setup down there, but nothing like yours. Keep grinding. I'm proud of you both.
Thanks, bro.
Catch up, but we've all got to connect soon as the class. You might be the worst star class in history, but we can definitely parlay party the best, that's for sure.
I think you might be right. I think you might be right. John, we're gonna let you go. Thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck with everything you've got going on with Monarch and the Seeker.
Yes, sir. Sounds good. I'll have to connect you with some people too. I know Sawyer, he's a University of Iowa grad. I'm not sure if you guys want to do anything with him, but we'll talk. Appreciate you guys. Much love. Go Hawks.
See you, brother.
Hey, everyone. everyone. I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.